In Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering guidelines that have governed federal criminal prison sentencing for two decades. Yesterday was the first day of the new term, and the justices held an unusual afternoon session to hear arguments. It's that urgent. It became urgent because earlier this year, the Supreme Court invalidated Washington state sentencing guidelines. They're similar to those in the federal system. Judges, prosecutors, defense lawyers all say the result is chaos. Slate and Day-to-Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick heard the arguments yesterday. She joins us now. Dahlia, remind us, what is it that the court said was wrong with Washington's guidelines?
Well, Alex, under Washington's scheme, a judge could increase a prison sentence for a criminal based on facts that the judge found herself. These were not facts that were ever pled to by the defendant. They were never proven beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury. And in an opinion written by Justice Antonin Scalia in Blakely, 5-4, the court voted that that simply violates the Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial. The problem became that the federal rules were similar to the Washington rules. And the question then became courts across the country trying to anticipate, did this case mean that the federal rules were also unconstitutional?
So what did the government say yesterday, going in and arguing its case for keeping the federal sentencing guidelines?
Well, the government had a tough tack to take because they were essentially saying, even though these rules are almost identical to the Washington state rules you thought were unconstitutional, they're slightly different, and they're different principally because they were promulgated not by a legislative arm of the government, but by the Sentencing Commission, that's a judicial arm. And they also offered pragmatic reasons for why it's almost impossible to get every single fact that would be important to a sentence before a jury.
Well, the five-justice majority that threw out Washington's sentencing law, this was part of what made this case so interesting, was it was an unusual mix on the court, both the court's most conservative and most liberal justices. Why did they make this ruling and come together on this, and what are they going to do this time?
Well, what was interesting was you had the real ideological judges. You had judges, the most liberal, as you say, and the most conservative, uniting to say that for ideological reasons, a system in which judges ratchet up criminal penalties without juries making findings of fact is simply unconstitutional. They all believed that. The four justices who dissented, dissented for pragmatic reasons. They said, look, we have a system. It's existed almost 20 years. It works great. They weren't really concerned with the sort of highfalutin constitutional arguments. They just want to have a sentencing system that's uniform and fair across the boards. Nobody's mind seemed to change yesterday, Alex.
It's almost like they're not hearing the same case, isn't it?
Well, it was one of those rare moments where you really see that some of the justices simply want the world to be right and fair in a global constitutional sense. Some justices want to roll up their sleeves and get the job done and just do the best they can with what they have. It was a very, very interesting lineup, and it was fun to watch as a consequence.
We'll see how it comes out. Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thanks, Dahlia.
My pleasure.